Can everybody hear me? Everybody hear us? Yes, everybody can hear?
Mr. Kemper.
How's it going out there? Okay. Am I on? Nora, Andrew? Okay. It's wonderful to be here. My wife is right beside me. She's in the background. She's more shy than I am, but she gives greetings. And I have another brother beside me from India, international student, who just graduated, and he's with me as well. So we're thankful we can join you this way. We're uncertain about the roads, and we just pray that this message will and report that I share with you will encourage all of you today. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We can come before you this morning, whether we're on Zoom or whether we are in person. We thank you that we can sing praises to you. We can worship you. We can give all glory and honor to you. We thank you that you have provided for us even today. And we do pray for all the people that perhaps are struggling with the weather, with cold weather, with snow. We pray for your blessing on them today and each one of us as we gather. Thank you that we can remember you today and all that you have done for us. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My scripture reading is from Acts chapter 14, just reading a couple of verses after Paul returns from his missionary journey. He gives a report to the church in Antioch in verse 21, Acts 14, 21. I'm just reading a couple of verses there. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples, and they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. And then Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting and commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Then in verse 26, they kept on moving from Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had completed on arriving there. They gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And that's a little bit of our report today with you. As we had another opportunity to go to Asia last fall, and God opened the doors for us to return, even though I'm turning 80 this year, and Heather just this past week celebrated her 76th birthday. Then we believe that God was sending us back to Asia for what you read about here, what Paul was doing and Barnabas, strengthening disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the faith, talking also about hardships that they faced. And a couple of verses earlier, Paul even had experienced a stoning. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city. So they had blessings and they had hardships as they went in their first missionary journey. That started in Acts chapter 14. We're going to do some screen sharing and share some slides. And my topic this morning is a time for giving and receiving. A time for giving and receiving. I'm going now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians about these are two chapters in 8 and 9 where Paul is talking about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian Christians. He's given an example of a church. We want to, verse 1, we now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that has been given the Macedonian churches. Out of their severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testified that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And they did not do that. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with the Lord's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring about to completion, to completion the act of the grace on your part. And just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, and knowledge, to complete earnestness and your love for us, that you are able to excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that you through the poverty might become rich. And then we have then Paul goes on to share some more principles of giving and what he's expecting from the Christians in Corinth. And he's basically challenging them with the example of the Macedonian churches, because they gave not from their plenty, but they gave in the midst of severe trial, overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Verse 2, Paul closes these two chapters on chapter 9 with talking about how God is able. Verse 8, chapter 9, verse 8, 2 Corinthians, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. And so Paul is closing his talk about that that he God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, and that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. We experienced some of these blessings as we went to India, Thailand, and Singapore back in October and November. We spent 2 months going to these three countries. Then Paul closes finally this section. He says people are blessed when they hear and experience your generosity in verse 13. And then in your prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And so everything that we have experienced, brothers and sisters, at Parkrest, everything we experience is because of God's grace and God's mercy, and because of the great gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. It's indescribable, indescribable. Thanks be to God. And so everything I share this morning, I share because God has given us the ability and the support of God's people in Vancouver and even in other countries. And so some of you know that I was a missionary in India with Operation Mobilization. Next picture, I got my computer expert beside me here. You see that slide? That on the left is the same people as on the right. The same people, but 54 years earlier in 1971, where God brought, I was working in India with Operation Mobilization, and God brought Heather to India in 1970, and we were married in 1971. And there we are on the right, 50 years later. So so as I went back to India, that is one of the things that we experienced is people wanted to know why we went to India. Of course, this is 54 years later. Most of the people heard stories about us. Some of the people knew us from 50 years earlier that are still alive. But a lot of people heard stories. And so the questions I have to answer in the meetings was, why did I go to India in 1968? And how did I get to India? And the fascinating thing was that I was able to tell them that I drove to India, actually by truck, from Europe to India with Operation Mobilization. And those were old trucks that we drove from Belgium to India, and we used those trucks for evangelism. And so they wanted to hear these stories. Why did I get married in India? What would make me get married in India? And they wanted to hear that story. And we were able to share these stories with the believers. And why did I get married to a Canadian girl? What made her go all the way to India? So this is where our hearts were formed and challenged by God with evangelism and missions, and seeing the great needs of India and people who had never heard the gospel before. This is really, and so I was able to share with them that my heart, part of my heart was still in India, we still have a love for India, and we've been working with some international students here from India as well. I also go to an Indian church in Surrey every month to preach there. It's called Zion House of Prayer, and there are many people from India from the very same churches that we had been I had been assigned to when I was there 54 years ago. So I want to give you a report this morning. But before that, I want to read this little poem. I felt like this as we went to India for about 6 weeks, and we have to go to many different places, and God opened up many doors for us, and everybody wanted to arrange special meetings for us. And I thought of this poem that I want to read this morning. Listen to these words. So send I you to ants in the sugar bowl, to things that fly and creep and crawl into the house, to uncertain water and sporadic electricity, to long hours, sweltering heat, exhausting days, to uncomfortable vehicles, crowded jeeps, smelly buses, to noisy early mornings, to rice and more rice, to poverty you didn't believe existed, to masses of people like you've never seen, to know and work with people who have never known comfort. So send I you, and I expect you to adjust. So send I you to people who will give to you from their poverty, to friends who will embarrass you with their generosity, to pastors who will entertain you from their lack with beauty, to hungry, receptive, questioning people who want to know God, to study, to teach, to learn from your study and teaching, to prove your own motives, values, and beliefs, to learn about yourself and the culture that has reared you, to know God and understand more deeply dependence on Him. So send I you. Are you going? I'll go with you all the way. Some of these sentences in this poem really were our experience as we went to India. Again, as I was faced with the challenge of going to India, I realized that India still is the greatest unreached country in the world, where there are 159 people groups, then there's only 133 of those that are still unreached. 953 ethnic groups, but 205 of them have no church, where there's 5 million blind people, 40 million people visibly impaired. And my friend here from that is going to share in a few minutes too. He says that 25% of India are the Dalits, or the untouchable people on the bottom of society. And so as we share these pictures this morning, may God give you a burden to pray and intercede with us, because we're still involved with projects in India. A couple of years ago, remember, I came to Parkrest, and Matthew Jivan was with me, and he was the one that shared about that factory where they made T-shirts, and some of you bought T-shirts that morning. And that was a, that was the the year early 2023 when we shared that at Parkcrest. Well, the brother that's with me today, he's from the same area and is from the same group of churches as Matthew Givon. The next slide gives you some pictures of our welcome. You see that welcome in Hyderabad as we arrived. People were already expecting us and had been praying for us and had been arranging meetings for us. And the people on the left had picked us up at the airport, and their assembly or church that they were part of were celebrating 20 years anniversary. And we were the special speakers for that weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Well, guess how many times I had to speak? 6 times, 4 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday. And the picture on the right is showing us getting our farewell by another church. That's Matthew Givon's church, and his dad is they're saying goodbye to us after we spent 4 days with them. So that's the next slide is just a picture of 4 pictures of some of the meetings that happened. In fact, in the first one on the upper left-hand corner was the church that was hosting a South India Holy Convocation. And they had been writing to me a year earlier saying, we've been praying for a year that you would be our special speaker. And so they had been begging us to come back and be their speaker. A Holy Convocation is something like 5 days to 7 days long, and 3 times a day they have these meetings where they go for hours in the morning, afternoon, and evening. So and you can it was just so many people that had come. We had to have translation all the time, and in fact on the left there was 2 translators, one in Telugu, one in Tamil. The next slide shares a little bit about our reception with Grace's parents, the Esther and Andrew know Grace really well. She stayed in their home. She was a student at SFU, and she comes from a tribal area in Tamil Nadu. And Grace is she was one of our best students. She helped us at the Focus Club. Later, she moved to Ottawa, and she's still in Ottawa with her brother. But her dad and mom spoke a year and a half ago at Parkcrest and was translated by Grace. And the dad is on the right side with dressed up with his black pants. He spoke in Parkcrest a year and a half ago, and he shared about his ministry. His ministry is with tribal people called Bajari people. Very poor, very tribal people that are uneducated. They have never had the gospel. And just recently, just yesterday, I got a letter from him sharing his situation in Dharmapuri. This is the first time that we were actually able to see the people, the village people that he's working with. They all dress up like in special red. They have all their jewelry on them. There is no Christians among them. And yesterday I received this message from Kumarson, Grace's father. He says, there are currently no churches in 8 surrounding villages of the Bajari people. We're preaching the gospel in our language and are planning to build a church in our village. Pray for provision and that many tribal people will come to Christ. He says also, Vacation Bible School. Every year we host Vacation Bible School for 250 children in the tribal villages. Please pray for resources, training, and support for this year's Vacation Bible School. And and he says, every 3 months we plan to share the gospel, pray for unity and guidance as we continue with this mission. He also has a dental surgery coming up, and he wants us to pray that that God would heal and provide for this dental surgery. He's also having a youth meeting coming up where young people are facing exams in March and April. He's praying for their spiritual growth and that they would come to know Christ through the meeting there. So we spend 4 wonderful days with this couple. When we first met them 2.5 years ago in 2022, we were in one of the churches that he started that had no toilets. And we had prayed that they were just in a very poor village with very simple church building. He had started this church among these people, but they had no toilet, and he was expecting 200 people at Christmas time. So God put it in our hearts to share this need, and by God's grace, we went back to the same church, and they have a toilet today, and that was quite exciting. So pray for Grace's parents. Pray for Grace and her brother. They love their parents, and they support them. We support them. 2 years ago also, he never had a car to do his ministry. And we prayed that God would provide a car for him. When he left Canada 2.5 years ago, or 2 years ago, I said, "What's your biggest prayer request?" He said, "I would like to have a car so I can bring more supplies and cover more and reach more people with the gospel." Brothers and sisters at Parkrest, people prayed in your church as well. People got to know about it. And today he has a car. He's able to do a lot more for his ministry. Give God the praise and keep them in prayers, as I know you will. Next slide talks about, this is the pastor's conference. If you take a close look on the picture on the left, it's a pastors and leaders conference where Matthew Jivan, who was at Parkrest with his t-shirts 2.5 years ago, there he's translating for me, and we're speaking to 150 pastors, and these pastors are all village pastors most of them are from the Dalit people, I think, and their wives. And so we spent 2 days talking to these pastors two sessions each day. So I was able to talk to them for 4 days. I'd like to read one paragraph from one of those pastors. Praise the Lord, on October 25th, 2024, Brother Burt preached a powerful message to me. The main point that God spoke to me was that if I pray more, if I pray in God's will, I will see greater things happen in my life. And I've also learned from different men of God who have prayed before, and really, really, Bert explained it so well, and he encouraged me and strengthened me, and now I understand the power of prayer in my ministry. Secondly, the prodigal son. I've learned more from the explanation of the love of the Father and how also God loves us. Also, 20th October, God spoke to me from the teaching that disciples and believers, how God really chose his disciples and how he loved them to the end. So I've learned that point that I should love my church and the people that God has entrusted to me. I should love them till the very end. Thank you. And also I've learned from the leadership to be transparent and to trust the leaders and work under them. One of the pastors, Brother Jivan, who was a translator there with us. By the way, he started really, he received a lot of his encouragement and support from people here in Canada, as he was a student in Canada about more than 10 years ago. And where we connected with him was at the Focus Club. Actually, Steve Scott became a very good friend of Matthew Jivan. Jivan, at Christmas time, had a big passion, and that was to reach the villages in his area. And you know how many villages they wanted to reach? 500 villages. 500 villages. He says in an email he sent me a few weeks ago, "We praise God for allowing us to share the gospel in 500 villages. It's impossible for us to do this, but by his grace and mercy alone, we are able to travel 15,000 kilometers and reach 500 villages. 184 villages never heard of Jesus. No church, no gospel was preached before. It breaks our hearts. 54 villages rejected us. denied entry into their villages. We distributed 74,000 Bibles. We ran out this year. This was their Christmas project, brothers and sisters. And we here in Canada have a, you know, we have so many Bibles, we have so many churches. We have the joy to support them in their ministry. The next picture gives us one of the projects I had was to give good books to Christian leaders and pastors. And you notice the one in the center was called Touch the World Through Prayer. In fact, I have it right here in my hands, Touch the World Through Prayer. But that book also is translated into Telugu and Tamil. And then the book beside it is called A Blaze for God. A Blaze for God. I can show you the books. And those are the books that I were published in India, in Hyderabad, and we were able to give out thousands of copies of these to these pastors and Christian workers. They were so excited to receive them as a gift from us. When I first ordered them, I said, I don't have the money. I have to use money from my own account to pay for these books, but we ordered them anyway by faith. And just a few weeks after that, the donors in Canada helped supply all the money we needed for those books. Next slide shows Heather, as we have been given so much, they were so happy to have us come. They were so excited. They wanted to, of course, Heather comes wearing a sari. So guess what? They had to take her to a sari shop. And she got two saris there, I think. And she received over 9 saris in India, so I had to get another suitcase to carry back to Canada with the gifts that people gave to us in India. Next slide. Well, here we are at some of these meetings where after the service, people come forward. They come forward for a prayer. And I prayed, and many people recommitted their lives to Christ. And we were so overwhelmed with the hundreds and hundreds of people that wanted to have these books, wanted to receive prayer, and were encouraged that we at our age would even come back and visit them and minister to them in their fellowships and churches. We were just simply overwhelmed by the love of these people. Next slide. This slide on the left with all these ladies, with Heather sitting down beside them, is part of her craft ministry. Heather is a very crafty person. She 2 days in Nilgiri in northeast India, close to Darjeeling. These ladies came for 2 mornings to learn how to make what is it called? Sashiko. That's a Japanese art of embroidery.
Yeah.
Embroidery. Heather's beside me, correcting me. I say anything. These ladies are so excited to learn this, and they also learned to do some baking of cookies. And then on the right is Heather ministering to the wives of the leaders from Laos, and she got to speak there. That was the next city that we went to. The next slide. Next slide. If you look at this picture, these are some of the people that have come from various we met. There was a real joy on the right with this one girl from Japan. We never went to Japan, but this girl on Facebook says, "Why aren't you coming to Japan?" We said, it's too much for us. We are already covering 3 countries for 2 months. We can't do it. She said, "But I see you're going to be in Singapore. Can I come to Singapore to see you?" So she had never been there before, but she flew to Singapore for 3 days just to meet us. And she's not a Christian. Her name is Now, but we met her 15 years ago here in Vancouver. She's now got a husband and 2 children. And at the end of our time together with her, she says, "You know that I'm not a Christian. Why do you still love me? Why do you show me such love?" And she really, she's like part of our family. The couple on the top, a couple on the right are people from Thailand in Bangkok. They also met at Focus Club in Kamloops. In fact, Lada beside me and Heather was at Parkcrest many years ago when I was still in Vancouver. She moved to Vancouver when I was in Kamloops. She moved to Vancouver to UBC, and we had a meeting once with international students at Parkcrest. I don't know if Andrew remembers that. But she was part of that group that sang and shared testimony. She is living with her husband in Bangkok, and they're serving Christ. She teaches in an international Christian school. So we were together with them, and the person on the bottom is from Singapore. He also was a leader of the Focus Club Wisdom at SFU and also at Douglas. But the picture on the left on the top is special. That's special because this family wanted to come and special meet us in Nanagama, where Matthew Jivan is, because their son is right beside me right now. And that's all his parents and brothers and sisters. And come and share. I'd like to share. This is, why don't you put yourself on the screen? We'll just decommission that one for a moment so people can see you. This is KP. Can you see KP? Is he there?
Yeah.
Okay. KP, when did we first meet you?
Hi, I'm KP, and I'm used to be an international student, and I graduated last year in October, and I met Bert in 2022 when Bert and Heather came to India for a mission trip, and I met them through Jivan.
And you were our driver, weren't you?
Yes, I drove Bert all over my place, here and there for meetings and to show places.
And then a few months later, you moved to Canada.
Yes. So. During that time, I told Bert I wanted to come to Canada to study, and I applied for a visa, and I haven't heard anything from the government. And I told Bert and Heather, and they gave me books to read. Like the biblical books, and then they said they're gonna meet us in Canada, and Heather promised to cook biryani when she was in India. And when I landed in Canada, the first week, I guess the second day I landed in Canada, Heather cooked biryani for me.
Oh, so you got food at our house.
Yes, I got.
Is that, are we on mute or not? Are you hearing the sound?
Huh? They're hearing us.
They're hearing you. Okay. So what you've been part of Matthew Jivan's ministry in India. What's the part that you played in, and why do you think this ministry is so important? And are you still part of it?
Yes. So speaking on the ministry that Jivan, it is called RAGS Ministries, which stands for Reaching Abandoned Generation, the lowest of lowest, the weakest of weak, the rejected, the dejected, the left one. So this ministry is formed on the basis of sharing the true gospel of Christ and reaching the untouchables and people who haven't heard the gospel yet. So every Sunday, we travel to different countries, different villages. Now, the people, the team we had in India, they're traveling about 30 different villages every Sunday to reach the kids and to reach the people and to preach the gospel. So we have a big project every year during the Christmas season. So that's the season where people let us to share gospel freely. So we call it as Street Christmas. During this season, we travel to different villages. And last year, our team, they traveled to 500 villages, and they traveled thousands of kilometers, reaching thousands of people and distributing thousands of New Testament. And we got faced a lot of persecution from the people, and also our team, they got persecuted last year for stepping into some villages, and please pray for their safety. And this Street Christmas is all about reaching the people. So we take the gospel into the streets, we lay the mat, and we invite kids and people to come and listen to the gospel, and we distribute our Bibles, and along with it, we distribute the sweets.
Okay, so this year you couldn't be part of it. Did you miss it?
Yes, I missed it a lot because I used to be there every year, traveling with the people, meeting the kids, and preaching the gospel. And after coming to Canada, I missed it a lot. And at least I got the opportunity to see the team, how they are working hard to reach the souls in India.
How can we pray for you?
So we need to follow up with some of the villages that we are open to have a church. That 180 villages, they don't have any church at all. And we need to follow up with the church and people to have a church in that village. We need to train next generation pastors to send them to these villages to establish them. We need to support them monthly to do their ministry. The harvest is plenty and the workers are few. Pray for the wisdom for all our leaders and team and guidance. We also have two different ministries. That is, one is software company that is formed from the rags by our founder, Jivan Matthews. And these companies' aim is to bring money treasures into the ministry. Like we have two different companies. One is software company. We build websites, and these run by the people. They were kicked out of companies because saying those are the people who are untouchables. So they never let these people into their big companies. So Jivan Matthews has a heart to give them a shelter to work. So we formed it a software company, and also we have t-shirt company that most of the girls who were abused in the fields, so we brought them into this industry so they can work by stitching this t-shirt, and then we sell across different parts of the world.
And some of you saw some of those t-shirts a year and a half ago when Matthew Jivan had a table full of those t-shirts. And so that ministry is still going on. But you never talked about yourself. How can we pray for you? You just graduated. What's your plan?
Yeah, I just graduated recently, and I'm looking for a full-time job. Please pray for it. And also, please pray for my spiritual health. I need to be used for the kingdom of God more and more.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, we can go back to one more slide. Thank you so much, KP. We want to pray for him at the end of our service today. This last slide that I show you is the 105 pastors from Laos that came for one day, 2 day traveling by motorcycle from all over Laos to come to the border across into Thailand. They are allowed to come for 3 days to a beautiful Catholic retreat center. And that's where I spoke there with Sion Chan, who is the head of FEBC, Far Eastern Broadcasting Corporation. He's been preaching the gospel to the people of Laos and especially to the Kamu people for over 31 years. And this now he's over 70. His son is helping him with his ministry. And these pastors are from the persecuted church. They're from the suffering church. They're from the church where it costs a lot to be a Christian and to follow Christ. And so, and as you see the picture of me standing beside that beautiful woman, I have a sheet in front of me with a picture of her and her husband from July the 28th. July the 28th, 2024, the Laotian pastor was warned by authorities to stop Christian activities. He was shot dead and leaves behind a wife and two children. That's the widow wife, and she has two children. She came to the seminar to be with us, and she's standing there. And as I speak, tears are coming to my eyes to realize that her husband paid the ultimate price in following Christ. She's actually going to take over his job because he had a leadership position among the Christian groups in Laos to be as one of the leaders, and he was very, God was using him in a great way. And they, and some of the enemies of the gospel had warned him to stop. He did not stop. And October, the July 28th, two motorcycle guys came, motorcycles came to his home, and they shot him in front of his family. And so she stands there as one of the persons that have, people are being martyred around the world. Well, this had not happened in Laos before. They have suffered in other ways, but she suffered now with losing her husband. God has given her strength, but many times she's lonely. Many times she's still in that grieving process. And what a joy it was to stand with her. I had shared this with a number of churches. And so can we remember her in prayer? You can go back to the slide with my as I conclude this talk. This talk is, yes, it's a missions talk, but it's also filled with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving because we had the chance to go back to India, where we had started as missionaries with Operation Mobilization many years ago. We were able to go back and we saw God use us, and God used us in Laos among those Laotian people, where Seon Chan was a refugee when he first came to Canada from the refugee camps of Thailand, escaped from his Laos, but he had the passion to go back to his own country to preach the gospel. It's been a joy for my wife and I to be able to minister in those refugee camps. But, you know, what is the connection between Laos and India? What is the connection? In India, I spoke many times and I was able to make a connection. I says, we are going to be, in a few weeks' time, we're going to be in Thailand among the Laotians. And they just lost a Christian leader through assassination. And many of them are poor. In fact, we found out many of those pastors come from areas where they get the luxury of having meat only every 2 months. Every 2 months, they're able to eat meat. At that conference, they ate meat 3 times a day where we were. Some of them took 2 days just to travel to that conference. So I shared this situation of Laos with churches in India in the cities. And God put it on the people of India to support the people in Laos. And so when we got to Laos, we were able to give $2,000 or $3,000 from Indian Christians to the believers in Laos. Also, the people in India in the cities knew that we were helping the people in the villages where KP comes from and where Grace comes from, and we shared about those needs. And so people gave us, again, gifts to help. And guess what? The time that we were in India for 6 weeks, those Christians and churches gave us $15,000 in rupees. In rupees, 1 rupee, $1 is 60 rupees. We were able to give that to 6 or 7 different ministries, including the believers in Laos. What a joy to see that we could become the avenues of distribution of support for people who really need the support. And we thank God that people in Parkcrest and 6 or 7 different churches also were able to support us and pray for us on this journey. So as I close this message, I close from Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much will be required. We have been given so much. To whom much is given, much will be required. We have been given so much. What do? Are we wasting our resources? Or are we supporting the people that really need the support? What is my conclusion of this talk? Number one, God is willing to do more than we ask or think. We were trusting God for $30,000 when we started thinking about this trip. We asked God for that support. He gave us $40,000. And we supported that seminar in Laos as well as this literature that we gave away and other projects. God is willing to do more than we ask or think. Number two, anything I give or give up is nothing compared to what Jesus has given. Anything I give or give up is nothing compared to what Christ has given to us. And the focal part of us willing to go is that Christ has done so much for us. Number three, prayer is so powerful. We could not have gone without the prayer of God's people. And the giving has been multiplied. Truly, $1 equals 60 rupees in India can do a lot more than what our $1 can do here. And so we were able to see the giving multiplied all over India and Laos and to support those ministries. Number four, suffering and trials will not stop God's work. Suffering and trials will not stop God's. God's work is, there is persecution in India. There's persecution in Laos. But God's work is continuing. In fact, those Laotian believers are spreading the gospel to many other people. Suffering and trials will not stop God's work. But it purifies us and brings us closer to God. And number five, there are still many, many places that are unreached. That need the gospel, and like KP was sharing with us. And so he's here as a representative from the Dalit people that are 25% of India's population, the people that are very much discriminated against. And so these people like Jivan and KP are asking us to pray for the ministries they're having. In fact, as he was saying, those ladies that are employed making these sweater and these T-shirts, most of them were non-Christians when they started there. They were, and all of them have become Christians. All of them have turned to Christ, and so they hear the gospel through even these opportunities where they get to work in a ministry like Jivan's ministry in Nandagama. And so these are just some of the lessons that Heather and I have shared with you this morning. We are still involved with international students. KP, where did you go on Christmas Eve?
Back home.
Oh, you came to my house for Christmas Eve. Did you get a Christmas dinner?
Yes, I get a lot of times dinner from Bert and Heather.
We also had two Japanese girls in our home on Christmas Eve. They had just arrived 2 months earlier, 4 months earlier. Both one of them had just become a Christian. The other one is still not a Christian. So we're still working with these international students. And I want to share with the report that in S of U, we have now Joseph and Jessica, who had been involved before. Now they have taken over as the leaders of S of U Focus Club. So pray for them. I'll be sending you a report about their ministry. So the work in SFU that I helped to start with Steve Scott many years ago is still continuing, and we need to pray for that ministry as well. Let's close in prayer. Lord, this morning we have heard a lot of things. We have seen a lot of things. But it's unbelievable to know what we were able to experience in 2 months of our journey to India and Thailand and Singapore. It was, we think of over 40 meetings where people organize meetings at the last minute. They organize meetings especially at all times of the week. This day wanted to hear what from us. And we're so honored, we're so blessed that we were able to share with these people. And we did represent the church in Vancouver. We thank you for Parkcrest and for the Indian church and for the other churches that said that they wanted to be part of this trip. Thank you for even ex-Focus Club people that gave us large gifts so that we could go to on this journey to Asia, to this missions trip. We are so blessed. We thank you for that young Chinese couple that came to our home one day and just wanted to know more about what we were planning to do and where we were going. Afterwards, they said they wanted to support us. And that very week, we got indication they wanted to give us $8,000. And so, Lord, we are just overwhelmed with the giving of many people that helped us on this journey. But it was not for us. It was for your work. It was for your glory. It was to see the gospel go forth in India, in many of the to the tribal people. We think of grace as parents today, working with very poor people, people that, would never be accepted by most people in society, but they're created by you. You love them. You died for them too. And for Jivan and the ministry that he started with this website designs and with this making these t-shirts, bless these ministries and the 500 villages that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless them as they continue to serve you, as they continue to train these people to leaders to be pastors and leaders in their villages. We know the situation is hard. There are many difficulties. We cannot imagine the difficulties that many of these people are going through. We think of these some of these Laotians that have to travel for 2 days in very bad roads to just get to this seminar so they could be with God's people and can enjoy fellowship and can learn more about how to grow as Christians and to be strong in their faith. Lord, we are so blessed. Thank you for Parkrest today. Thank you for what you're doing in this fellowship. We pray you'll continue to bless them and bless all those who come, and may they be encouraged today to pray for God's people in other parts of the world. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Heather, come here, join me. We want to thank you in Parkrest. I guess my wife is still, she's here. We are blessed to be with you today. Next time we'll be with you in person. God bless.
Thank you, Bert. I don't know if you can hear us. But
yes,
you.
I can hear you.
Yes, and I have one of Javan's t-shirts at home.
You have one of his t-shirts, okay. We'll have to bring you more.
Yes, do.
Yes. Thank you for allowing us to share today at Parkrest.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Heather. And may the Lord bless you. And have a
we'll
good
miss
day.
The lunch at your home.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you how good it is.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Okay. I don't think there's a closing hymn, so we'll let me just close in a word of prayer. Father, we just